House come to order.
Back.
Will the members please register their presence by voting? Has any member failed to register their presence? Clerk may take the quorum. Getting this group seated today is like something impossible.
Thirty-eight present, two absent.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, Representatives Cooper and Greening are excused from the call of the day, and there are no other members absent.
To rise for prayer by Father Belosevich, St. Nicholas Orthodox Church.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, Thou who art more than life itself to us, help us to turn to Thee in our plenty as well as in our mind. May we become increasingly conscious of the fact that our need of Thee may be as great or even greater at the times in our abundance than in our lack. So turn our minds and hearts toward Thee, that this day may become all of its potential for us, as well as a source of strength and hope for others. Help us to draw near unto Thee today and constantly to our welfare and to Thy service and praise. In Christ's name, Amen.
Mr. Malone.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Without objection, so ordered. Would the clerk certify to the correctness of the previous day's journal?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 24th day.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent this body approve the journal as certified by the chief clerk for the 24th day.
Hearing no objection, so ordered. This brings us to introduction of guests. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, we have a particularly distinguished group of guests with us today. I think they're spread out in both galleries. They are members of the Governor's Advisory Committee on Aging, plus a number of additional people who are interested in this same subject and have been meeting with the Governor's Advisory Committee. With your indulgence, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce the whole group, and I'll ask the members to stand as I call their names, and I'll ask the body to withhold their applause until we've had an opportunity to introduce both the committee and the people who are attending with the committee. The chairman of the group is Mr. Zelmer Lawrence of Anchorage. Vice chairman is Mr. William Peters of Sitka. The recording secretary is Mrs. Vera Siders. We're particularly pleased to have the gentleman who was the last occupant of the governor's chair of Alaska under the territorial status, Governor Wayne O. Hendrickson. We have two former representatives with the group, Mr. Alfred Widmark and Mr. William Wiggins. We have Mrs. S. Carol DeYoung of Ketchikan. I should have been telling all along where these people are from. Mrs. Catherine Fiala of Anchorage. Mr. Fletcher Gregg of Kotzebue. Mrs. Doris Southall of Fairbanks. Mrs. Betty Warren of Kenai. The executive director specifically asked me not to introduce him, but I'm going to disregard his wishes and introduce Danny Plotnick, who's already standing over there. Now, this is the committee. I'll ask you to hold your applause for a moment more while I additionally introduce other people who are meeting with the group. Mr. and Mrs. Bob Brand, who is president of the Juneau Alaska Association of Retired Persons. And we have Sister Patrick of the Juneau Senior Center. We have Mr. Bill Biggs and Charlie Jones and Rose Palmquist, all of Juneau. I certainly hope we haven't missed anybody, but this is a very distinguished group, and we welcome you.
Mr. Hershberger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I'd like to make a comment on the group that was just introduced, too. If there's as much hustle and bustle in here when these people show up, maybe we could use them every day of the week. I'd like to introduce Dr. Dwayne Kingland, Gallery A. Dr. Kingland is a constituent of mine. He's down here helping the Commerce Committee with the podiatry bill.
Mr. Osterbeck.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce Jess Burton, city manager from Unalaska, in Gallery A.
Mr. Parr.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A, we have Mr. Harry Carter, who is with the Alaska Plan, which, as you all know, is devoted to seeing that minorities have equal shot at jobs in the state of Alaska.
Other guests for introduction. Mr. Miller.
Before we proceed into the business of the day, I would again like to remind the members that during the session today, if you haven't yet filled out this receipt relative to your Alaska statutes or to the 1975 session laws and resolutions, which are either in your files or else in your desks, please sign those today and pass them over to a page or to the Sergeant at Arms before you leave the chambers today. While I'm on my feet, Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Wallace be excused from the call of the House on the 10th, 11th, and 12th, and that Representative Fisher be excused from the call next Wednesday through that following Monday. I don't have those dates, but I'll ask unanimous consent.
Along the same lines, although no decision has been made after conferring with some members of the minority, it would appear that in the long weekend that the preference is rapidly becoming taking Monday off rather than Friday in terms of holidays. So members might be able to adjust their plans accordingly. The clerk have messages from the governor. Excuse me, Mrs. Sullivan.
Mr. Speaker, may we be at ease?
House be at ease. House come to order. Does the clerk have messages from the governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Does the clerk have messages from the other house?
The Senate has passed committee substitute for Senate Bill number 578, and it is transmitted herewith. Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 578 by the Finance Committee, an act relating to fiscal notes.
Finance.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, have general communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Health, Education, and Social Services has had Senate Bill number 476 amended relating to the Alaska Longevity Bonus and providing for an effective date under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Sullivan, Chairman, concurred in by Sullivan, O.C., Davis, Osterbeck, Hackney, Parr, H. Byrne, and Swanson. Senate Bill 476 amended has a further referral to finance. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 524 relating to the practice of podiatry and providing for an effective date under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bradley, Chairman, concurred in by Bradley, Wallace, Kelly, Fisher, Urien, McKinnon, Rudd, and Freeman. House Bill 524 has no further referral. The Committee on State Affairs has set House Bill 528, creating advisory committees to the Division of Marine Transportation in the Department of Public Works and providing for an effective date under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 528 with a new title and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, concurred in by McKinnon, Miller, Parker, M. Byrne, Wallace, and H. Byrne. House Bill 528 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 573, extending the term of the Bristol Bay Regional Development Council and providing for an effective date under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Anderson, Chairman, concurred in by Anderson, Swanson, Huntington, Hirschberger, Rode, Smith, and Brown. House Bill 573 has no further referral. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 680 relating to the use of biodegradable shellfish pots and providing for an effective date under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Anderson, Chairman, concurred in by Anderson, Smith, Rode, Hirschberger, Osterbeck, Huntington, And having no recommendation, Mr. Brown. House Bill 680 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, have reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of resolutions.
House Joint Resolution Number 51 by Fisher, relating to an Arctic Country Mutual Interest Exchange Conference.
Commerce.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, have introduction of bills. Mr. Swanson. House stand of these. House come to order. Mrs. Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would welcome any and all co-signers to the resolution introduced relating to the Arctic Country Mutual Exchange Program. I think we would all be interested in it. I didn't have time to take it around.
So, clerk, have bills for introduction.
House Bill Number 686 by Gardner and Freeman, an act relating to the legalization of rain classics.
Mr. Wallace.
Would you read that, don't you?
An act relating to the legalization of rain classics.
Mr. Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I might tell the members, that, especially members from Fairbanks, that this was modeled directly on the Chena and Nenana ice pool. And anybody from Fairbanks.
How in the world does a rain classic work?
The more it rains, the more you have a classic.
Catch a can before the ducks or something. Does the clerk have other bills for introduction?
House Bill Number 687 by Cotton, H. Byrne, Bradley, Freeman, Greening, Malone, Ostrowski, and Rudd, an act relating to state aid to unified local governments and providing for an effective date.
Community and Regional Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 688 by Smith, an act relating to selection of state lands by cities and boroughs and providing for an effective date.
Community and Regional Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 689 by Swanson, an act relating to defenses against civil liability.
Judiciary.
House Bill 690 by Sullivan, an act relating to the University of Alaska and providing for an effective date.
Commerce.
House Bill Number 691 by Sullivan, an act relating to identification cards for senior citizens.
HESS.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to the daily calendar. Would the clerk read the first item on the calendar?
House Bill Number 595 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to the Village Safe Water Act. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had House Bill 595 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, concurred in by Cotton, Freeman, Hershberger, Rudd, Ostrowski, Davis, and Osi. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, unless there are amendments, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill Number 595 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, House Bill Number 595 is advanced from second to third reading, placed on final passage. Will the clerk read the bill for the third and final time?
House Bill Number 595 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to the Village Safe Water Act.
House Bill 595 is before you for discussion and debate. Mr. Cotton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Village Safe Water Act, in this case, is being amended to change some of the eligibility requirements. There have been a lot of problems with this act, and this is an attempt to solve one of them. At the present time, the act authorizes grants to villages of between 25 and 600, as well as second-class cities. Originally, when the act was put on the books, it only allowed villages up to 600 and fourth-class cities. In 1972, the municipal code was revised, and fourth-class cities then became second-class cities. And a revisor of statutes bill came through, which changed that eligibility and included second-class cities. There are some problems with including second-class cities in this eligibility, in that some second-class cities are well above the requirement of 400. Once they get to 400, they can become first-class cities, but they don't have to. And there are some second-class cities now well over 1,000 or 2,000 that thereby fall under the the eligibility on the Safe Water Act. The facilities that you're talking about when you have are included in the Safe Water Act are generally designed for small villages. There's centralized water and sewage disposal facilities, and it's inappropriate for these larger cities to qualify. Also, if they did, well, there'd be a pretty severe drain on the very limited budget that now is available for these. So this, again, excludes the larger village, the larger second-class cities. It's basically a housekeeping measure.
Question is, shall House Bill 595 pass the House? The members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? I believe Mr. Huntington hasn't voted. Mr. Huntington. Does any other member wish to change their vote? The clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, no nays, two excused.
House Bill 595 has passed the House. Clerk, read the next item on the calendar.
House Joint Resolution Number 43 by Swanson, requesting exclusion from federal legislation prohibiting the use of traps. The Committee on Resources has had House Joint Resolution 43 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Anderson, Chairman, concurred in by Anderson, Swanson, Brown, Huntington, Osterbach, Eliason, and Hirschberger. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Joint Resolution 43 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 43 with the same title and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurred in by Gardner, Parr, Eliason, Brown, Cotton, and Bradley. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original House Joint Resolution number 43.
There is no objection. The Judiciary Committee substitute is adopted. Does the clerk have amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Wallace. House will stand at ease. House come to order. So it's been noted that Mr. Morton is no longer Secretary of Commerce, and that correct name can be inserted in engrossing. It's almost impossible to keep up with those guys anyway. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, if there are no amendments, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that CS for House Joint Resolution number 43 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 43 is advanced for second to third reading, placed on final passage. Clerk, read the resolution for the third and final time.
Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 43 by the Judiciary Committee, requesting exclusion from federal legislation prohibiting the use of traps.
Resolution is before you for discussion and debate. Question is, shall committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 43 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Mrs. Buchholz hadn't voted, and I'll open the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, no nays, three excused.
Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 43 has passed the House. Brings the end of the daily calendar to unfinished business. Is there anything to come before the House in unfinished business? Special orders. Committee announcements. Mrs. Sullivan.
Mr. Speaker, I wasn't fast enough. I was trying to get up for unfinished business. Mr. Speaker, in HESS there are four bills that relate pretty closely to some other bills that have been assigned to the Special Committee on Education. For that reason, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 547, 617, 619, and 620, the referral to HESS be waived and that they be referred instead to the Special Committee on Education.
Hearing no objection, the HESS referral is waived and the bills will be assigned a referral to the Education Committee. So anything more on unfinished business? Committee announcements. Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, the House Resources Committee will not meet tomorrow morning, but we'll be meeting Palmer at 9 a.m. On Saturday, February 7th at 9 a.m. to discuss House Bill 580 and House Bill 664. Establishing the Talcott Mountain State Agricultural Reserve and establishing the Talcott Mountain State Park. And then the House Resources Committee will be meeting jointly with the Senate in Anchorage at 1:30 p.m. to hear comments on the proposed Cook Inlet land exchange. And on Monday at 8 a.m., the House Resources Committee will meet. Have an informational meeting on three bills relating to there are House Bills 565, House Bill 566, and House Bill 567.
Mr. Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, Community and Regional Affairs will meet tomorrow morning at 9. House Bill 610, GO bonds, $31 million for water supply and sewage systems.
Mr. Parr.
Mr. Speaker, the Select Committee on Education will meet this afternoon at 3 o'clock discussing House Bill 619, which is $19 million for rural secondary schools, and House Bill 620, which is $10 million for construction and repair of rural schools.
Mr. Speaker, tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, at room 120 of the new court building, House Commerce will be having a joint hearing along with the Senate Commerce Committee on mortuary science bills. The main vehicle for discussion will be House Bill 509, burn by request.
Mr. Gardner, then Mr. Smith.
The Judiciary will meet at 1:15 on House Bill 606, appointment of U.S. Senators, and then we're going to meet again at 7 o'clock tonight to take final action on House Bill 531, the Freedom of Information Act.
Mr. Smith.
Labor and Management will meet at 3 this afternoon to continue discussion of House Bill 513 on public employment and House Bill 634, employment of minors. We'll also take up House Bill 588, Occupational Safety and Health.
Mr. McKinnon.
State Affairs will meet at 1:30 to take up House Bill 557, dealing with utilities and state rights of way, and House Joint Resolution 41, dealing with the Southeast Alaska time zone change.
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, the House Select Committee on Telecommunications will meet in an informal informational session with members of the Senate Commerce Committee in the Senate Commerce Committee room 9 o'clock in the morning on Monday to meet with Mr. William Melody, who's a professor of communications economics at the University of Pennsylvania and consultant to communications economics for the Governor's Office of Telecommunications, to talk about utilities rate making, how it doesn't work, and why. And the other meeting that I have been mentioning on this floor this week, the place has been changed. The ad hoc working group on television distribution problems sponsored by the Select Committee meeting in Anchorage at 1:30 on Friday will be meeting at the Anchorage International Inn and not at the Holiday Inn.
Mr. Speckin. Mr. Malone.
Speaker, the House Finance Committee will meet at 1:15 p.m. this afternoon for a review of the Department of Natural Resources budget. At 8:30 a.m. tomorrow morning, taking up Senate Bill number 578 relating to fiscal notes, and House Bills 482 and 669 dealing with debt service on state bonds, state revenue anticipation notes.
Speaker, if there are no further announcements, we'll give one final word of greeting to our distinguished guest this morning from the Governor's Advisory Committee on Aging, and I'll move and ask unanimous consent that this...
Excuse me, Mrs. Fisher. I think he was.
I have a little article that I'd like to call the members' attention to with the permission of the membership.
Without objection, we're under special orders then.
Thank you. I don't know how many of you have had time to read last night's local paper, but in it, it's the headlines were North Slope Not So Hot, says New York Investor. And I'm not doing this for anyone but myself, but I do think that we should weigh some of the things that are going to appear before us in light of some of the things that we are reading in the outside papers. This particular article, which was a Rothschild report, discounts much of the material that we've recently had from Michael Tanzer, and it goes in, I don't think, into enough depth on it, and I hope to find out more about it, but it's one of the things that I'll just run over it briefly. The Rothschild report says the rising cost in pipeline production development of the North Slope fields and the changing tax structure of the industry has driven the initial per barrel cost for Alaskan oil higher in past few years. Now, of course, we all know that the depletion allowance has been stricken from the federal tax law, which was a big bonanza for the oil companies, so that now it isn't quite as lucrative as it was. But he also goes on to say the viability of producing and transporting North Slope oil and gas could be threatened. Well, I think we all should read everything we can of whether we like it or not, opposing views on this, because we know that in oil and oil alone, for the next year, is going to be the money that fills that old general fund and that we'll be able to do for our people the things we'd very much like to do. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In reference to the information that Ms. Fisher was discussing, analysis on the Rothschild Memorandum is available from the Finance Division of the Legislature. We are staying current with these things, and some of them do indicate a lack of understanding the operation of the industry, but people are really interested. We have some detailed analyses on these things that's available to any member of the legislature or the public.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, if there is no further business to come before the body, I'll move and ask unanimous consent. We stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
House is in adjournment.